Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Ephesians and the chapter number 2. And just with the word of the Lord open before us, let us bow, please, for a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee now for thy precious and thy holy word. And Lord, we think of the psalmist who prayed, quicken me according to thy word. And Lord, we would make that the prayer for our hearts and for us as a congregation today, that each one of us would be quickened by the might of thy Holy Spirit in accordance with thy word. O Father, quicken me and help me, Lord, to preach thy word. Give liberty, clarity, plainness, simplicity of speech and of utterance. Give all necessary help that is needed. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me to the uttermost with thy Spirit. Pour out thy Spirit upon all in the congregation, we pray. And Lord, let the word of the Lord go forth with freshness, with power, with blessing, with challenge, with encouragement. Lord, to every heart, as thou alone would see the need, use it to the saving of souls, to the building up of believers in the things of God. Use it, O God, to the glorifying of Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text for today is the verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, speaking of the Lord, the psalmist could say, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And as he thinks upon the Lord, there the psalmist, and as he thinks of the Lord's dealings with him, his heart, his mind, his soul is filled with gladness. It is filled with sweetness regarding his thoughts about the Lord. And no doubt it was this same sweet thought of the Lord that caused Paul in our text to speak of the riches of God's mercy to his people when he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. In the opening verses of this chapter, Paul here is reminding the Ephesian believers of what their life was like before they were saved. Look at verses 1 to 3. He says, and you have he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that was what their life was like before they were saved. And progressing on from that, Paul then reminds them how they'd been saved from this awful ruin of sin. And you see that in that well-known verse, verse 8 of the chapter, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And my, their salvation, the salvation of these people here in Ephesus, it was all due to the riches of God's love and the riches of God's mercy toward them, as is outlined in the words of our text this morning here in verse 4. Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And no doubt, the thought of all this, it filled the apostle Paul's heart with gladness and with sweetness as he thought of God's love, as he thought about the riches of God's mercy towards him and the people of God here in Ephesus. And when we think here about the riches of God's mercy, we are reminded of the fact that God is abundant in mercy. That is one of the unchanging attributes of God. You read of God being described to Moses in the book of Exodus, and it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and abundant in goodness and truth. God is one who is abundant in mercy. And again, when we think here of the riches of God's mercy, we must also be mindful of the fact that the Lord is one who delights in mercy. He delights in being merciful to people. You remember the words of Micah the prophet, bringing his prophecy to an end. He speaks of the Lord and he says these tremendous words. He says, "The Lord delighteth in mercy." Dear people, our God is a God of abundant mercy. He is rich in mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. And he delights in mercy. People, it is this great thought of the Lord being rich in mercy that I want us to think about and look at today, where it simply says here in our text before us, "But God, who is rich in mercy." There are four things I want you to note as we think here about the riches of God's mercy today. First of all, we can say that God is rich in mercy toward the penitent sinner. These Ephesian believers to whom Paul writes, they had experienced God's saving mercy in their life. Once they were a people who were far away from God. Look at how Paul describes them in verse 12 of this chapter. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise and having no hope and without God in this world. That was their case, afar away from God and the things of God. But then God began to deal with them. The Holy Spirit began to work in their heart, convicted them of their sin, and brought them to that place of repentance toward God, to that place of faith and trust in Christ as Savior. And as a result of that, this very same people who were once afar from God were made near to God. They were brought into God's family. They were indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. They had all their sins forgiven by God, and they were made ready and sure of a home in heaven. You look at what Paul says to them back in the preceding chapter 1 and the verse number 7. There you read of the forgiveness of their sins. He says to them of Christ, in whom we, not just Paul, but these Ephesian believers, have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins, notice it, according to the riches of his grace. And look at chapter 2 and the verse 13. There you read of how they'd been made near to the Lord through Christ. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Go down to verse 19 of chapter 2. Notice again how mention is made of them, but brought into God's family. Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." They were no longer in the devil's camp. They were now in Christ's family, in the kingdom of God. If you go down to the very final verse of chapter 2, you'll see mention is made of the fact there that they were now a people indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, Paul says to them, "In whom ye also are builded together," notice it, "for an habitation of God through the Spirit." What mercy this people knew in salvation. They knew the saving mercy of God, the forgiveness of their sins, being brought near to God, being brought into the family of God, being indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, being made ready, made sure of heaven. What mercy they knew in salvation. And you know, it is the same for every penitent sinner, whoever he is, whoever she is, who trusts in Christ, who trusts in his sacrifice alone for their salvation. You remember the dying thief who cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Think of the mercy of God and of Christ to him. For Christ said, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The Lord saved him by his mercy and promised him in mercy a home in heaven. Well, the Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. My, the world does not deserve the mercy of God. Sinners do not deserve God's mercy. They deserve his wrath. They deserve his judgment. Yet God is such that he's merciful to the penitent sinner. Oh, remember the words of the hymn writer William Cooper.
He said, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away." And there he was praising God in that great gospel hymn for the forgiveness of all of his sins in the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What mercy he knew. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me ask you in this gathering, as one who is concerned today about your sin, you're concerned today about your soul, you're concerned today about your need to be saved from a lost eternity in hell. Praise God, friend. You can experience the great mercy of God's salvation in your life, in your soul. If you repent of your sin and turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and rest upon his sacrifice alone upon the cross for your salvation. Well, let me encourage you today, dear unsaved man, woman, young person, boy and girl, to look to Christ for salvation. For Christ says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 verses 6 and 7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord," and notice it, "and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, if you turn to the Lord as a penitent sinner and trust him, seek him, the Lord will have mercy upon you. He will abundantly pardon all your sins for time and for eternity. Oh yes, dear people, the Lord is one who is rich in mercy to the penitent sinner. Is it any wonder David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Yes, God is rich in mercy toward the penitent sinner. But secondly, this morning, we can also add that God is rich in mercy toward the despondent backslider. Yes, despite great privileges and despite great blessings and indeed despite great obligations, sadly, there are those of the Lord's people and they backslide. They go astray from the Lord. They go away from the Lord. The Lord mentions that to us in the book of Hosea when he says, "My people are bent to backsliding." Sadly, it occurs amongst the ranks of the redeemed. God's word also shows us that there is mercy. My, there is mercy for the returning backslider. There's mercy with the Lord. And you see a wonderful picture of that in the return of the prodigal son going back to his father's house. There you see a great picture of the returning backslider back to the Lord. And you read of the prodigal son in Luke 15 verse 20, and it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him." The father was merciful to the son who had drifted, who had went away from the household, who had went into the far country and had spent his substance in riotous living. Yet the father did not turn his back upon his son. When he came back home, the father was there to welcome him, to receive him, and to show mercy toward him. That's a picture of the backslider coming back to the Lord. My, whoever that backslider is, whoever he is, whoever she is, who turns back to the Lord, you know what they'll find in the Lord? They'll find the truth of our text, the riches, the richness, the abundance of God's restoring mercy. Turning your Bible, please, back to Psalm number 51. And this is a wonderful psalm. It's really the record of how David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was to experience and enjoy the restoring mercy of God in his life. Look at how he begins the psalm. In Psalm number 51 and verses 1 and 2, look at him pleading for mercy, the restoring mercy of God. Here he is in contrition before the Lord. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Notice how he pleads the mercy of God. "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Notice the confession of his sin here as he pleads with the Lord for mercy. In verse 4 he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Notice his desire for cleansing from sin. In verses 7 and 10 he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And in the restoring favor of God, he was to know again and enjoy again the presence of God in his life. For look at what he says in verse number 11 of the psalm. He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Again, in the restoring favor of God, he was to know again the joy of God in his heart, the joy of God's salvation in his soul as in former times. For look at what he says in verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." But it just didn't end there. The Lord did more for him in favor and in mercy. The Lord was to equip him and strengthen him and use him again for the Lord's honor and the Lord's glory. For look at what he says there in verse number 13 and verse 14 of the psalm. He says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me, O God, from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." And all of that, dear people, you see the mercy of the Lord toward David coming back to the Lord. And my, the Lord is mercy for the backslider, whoever he is, whoever she is, who comes back to the Lord. And the great promise of the Lord's mercy to every backslider is this: it is, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Am I speaking to some backslider in our meeting this morning? You've wandered away from the Lord, yet you wonder, has the Lord restoring mercy for you? You wonder, is the Lord a place for you again? Dear backslider, if you willingly confess your backslidings to the Lord and forsake your waywardness and seek the Lord for that fresh cleansing and his precious blood, you will know, you will experience the favor, the restoring grace, the restoring mercy of the Lord in your heart and life and soul as a child of God. My, you will experience the great promise of the Lord in Hosea 14 verse 11. And he says, "I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from them." Yes, in mercy, the Lord will heal your backslidings. The Lord will love you freely. The Lord will turn away his anger from you. Oh, backslider, please understand, however deep you may fall, you're never out of the reach of God. Such is the restoring mercy of God for the backslider. Oh, he has mercy for the penitent sinner. He has mercy for the returning backslider. But thirdly, this morning, we would also add that the Lord is rich in mercy toward the afflicted saint, the afflicted child of God. The Bible speaks of God's people and says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." No believer is immune from tears. No believer is immune from trouble and trials in their life. Speaking of troubles in his own life, as he writes his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says this: "We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul was at the point of despair. He despaired even of his own life. Such were the troubles and trials pressing in upon him. Oh, believer in Christ and the burdens of life, you and I must remember that our help is not in ourselves. It's not in the world. Our hope is not in man. It is not in the world, in our afflictions as God's people. The Lord says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And Egypt is a type of the world. Rather, in our afflictions, our hope, our help is in the Lord. As the hymn writer says, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. And in our afflictions, we are to seek the Lord. We're to pray for His help. We're to seek Him for His grace, for His enabling mercy in the troubles and tribulations of life. Remember the words of Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee and never suffer the righteous to be moved. Is there a burden in your life today, dear Christian? Cast that burden upon the Lord. Cast it at the Savior's feet. You remember Hezekiah in his time of great need and how he prayed. And Isaiah chapter 38 and the verse 14, listen to his prayer. He says, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. When Hezekiah was oppressed, when the burdens of life were pressing in upon him, he mentioned that to the Lord. And he says, Lord, undertake for me. Help me to get through this burden, this trial of life. Am I speaking to a believer today and you're oppressed by the enemy? You know the oppressions of the world and the enemy upon your heart and your soul and life's circumstances. Believer, cry to the Lord to undertake for you in that time of oppression. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says He is the God of all comfort. What a title to the Lord. The psalmist says, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, and our frame is weak. It is brittle. You and I are but creatures of dust with no strength of our own. But the Lord knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our cares. And He remembereth that we are but dust. O child of God, in the time of affliction, remember this. Whatever that affliction is that should come upon you, maybe your family, your home, or those that are near and dear to you. The Lord has mercy for you in that time of affliction. Turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look with me at the final two verses of this chapter. Verses 15 and 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 15 and look at how Paul here describes the Lord, the sympathizing Lord, the compassionate Lord to His people. He says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When He was here on earth, the Lord was touched. The Lord was afflicted with the exception of sin. You read of Him wearied. You read of Him thirsty. You read of Him being mocked and being ridiculed and scorned and beaten and persecuted. He entered into all our sufferings here in life. He's a sympathizing Savior who knows your need, who understands your need, dear Christian. On account of that, look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 16 at the end of that fourth chapter of Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain, notice it, mercy, the subject of our text today, and find grace to help in time of need. What a promise. What an encouragement. O believer, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the difficulty will be that you may be called to face as a believer, the Lord has mercy. He has grace to help you in your time of need. Joseph Scriven, that hymn writer of a bygone day, he proved that mercy. He said in that great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, he said these words, Are we weak? Heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Why did he pen those words? Because he knew the Lord was merciful. That the Lord his God, the Lord his Savior, had mercy for him in his time of need, in his time of affliction. Dear believer, the Lord has mercy for you in your time of need, in your time of affliction. Yes, the Lord is merciful to the penitent sinner.
He's merciful to the returning backslider. He's merciful to the afflicted saint. But finally, I want you to notice today that the Lord is rich in mercy also to the persevering believer. He is rich in mercy to the persevering believer. Who is the persevering believer? The persevering believer is one who continues on serving the Lord. That's how it was with the Apostle Paul. Remember him before King Agrippa. He says, I continue unto this day witnessing to small and great. He continued on as a witness for Christ. The persevering believer is also one who recognizes his own weaknesses, his own infirmities. That is how it was with Isaiah the prophet. For he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. The persevering believer is one who has proved and tested and tried the word of God in his life. That is how it was with Joshua of old. Remember his testimony before the nation of Israel as an old man? He said, not one thing have failed of all God spake. He proved the word of God. And my, the persevering believer is one who is filled with gratitude to God for mercies and blessings in their life. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David, the persevering saint, the persevering believer, never lost sight of the mercies, the benefits, the blessings of the Lord in his life. And for such, let me say this, there is more mercy to sustain them all the days of their life. Listen to what God says and promises in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 46. Listen to this great promise. And he says, even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. And there the Lord gives a promise to bear, to carry, to sustain his persevering people right to the very end of time for them, right to the very end of their sojourn here on earth. Not only is there grace and strength to sustain them along life's journey, for such there is mercy that will keep them unto life eternal. Listen to verse 21 of the little book of Jude. Jude closes that verse with these words, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What a promise for the persevering saint of God. Grace to sustain in all the trials of life, and mercy to keep even unto life eternal, for life everlasting. O child of God, in all of this, there's great encouragement for you as a believer to keep on living for Christ, to keep on serving Christ and his cause and his kingdom here in this corner of God's vineyard, in your home, in your workplace, in your community. Wherever the Lord leads you and guides you as a believer, the Bible says the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Believe the Lord has blessed you with mercy. He has been rich in mercy, but you know there's no end to the Lord's mercy. There's no ending of the well of that mercy. It will never run dry. Turn over the page from our Bible reading this morning to Ephesians chapter number 3. And look at the great promise there that the Lord gives you, Christian, in verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What a promise. My believer, the Lord is able to bless you as a Christian. He's able to use you in a far greater way, even than what he's done in the past. And he can bless you and enable you to do all his will for your life here on earth, here in this scene of time. There's no limit. What does our text say? It says, the Lord is rich in mercy. He's not a pauper. He's not a puny-handed God. He is almighty. He is eternal. He is unchanging. He is altogether sufficient.
child of God, he is rich in mercy, and he's riches of mercy for you to taste and to see and to prove and to try and to lean upon and to depend upon day by day in your Christian life until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, until he calls you home to glory. Yes, believer, you can thank the Lord today for mercies that are past. But my, you can trust him. I tell you this, for mercies to come. Why? Because of our text today. Because God is rich in mercy. We're going to close our meeting today singing together the hymn number 580. 580 in the page 410. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand. Unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. 500.